shortly after birth, we find out that there is such a thing as original sin. And as another speaker has said, and they come into the world and all of a sudden it's all about them. And it's all about their particular needs. And they want this and they want that. And yet, the passage that we are looking at, so the song that you just heard was actually Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. But the exercise that we have this morning to look at really is one verse from Colossians, which would say, you know, like, children, obey your parents in everything, because this pleases God. Everything. Think of yourself as a young child. You know, like, how many of us, you know, like, were a pleasing child to your parents, and you did not really have any consideration for how to please the Lord? But we are supposed to obey. And that really is very, very important. Obey. There's other songs that Steve Green might have had on his CD, how to teach children memory verses that can really help them in life. Obedience is the very best way to live long. You know, like, not to incur the wrath of your parents. You know, and there are some parents that for young children don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so how can a child who does not have Christian parents really, you know, like, obey faithfully their parents, pleasing the Lord? Particularly if the parent is going to have their son or daughter not do anything that really would please the Lord God himself, because the parents are not believers in Christ. It's kind of an interesting and very challenging discussion that we really have to look at tonight. You know, fortunately, the real blessing comes when a child or any of our children have parents that love the Lord Jesus and certainly are going to bring up their child or all of their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And sometimes, instead of having a father or mother in the family, you know, there may be one parent who has that responsibility to instruct and raise their son or daughter in the things of the Lord. And although we may not always be humming Steve Green melodies and helping the words of the scripture marinate through our brain, there are other tools that the Lord has given to those that know the Lord. Certainly, first and foremost, every believer in Christ has the Holy Spirit to help teach us. But really, also, he's given to us a special book. And one of those books is a book of wisdom. And that book is Proverbs. Now, the exercise before me today is not to spend all my time just on that one verse in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, in case you have forgotten that already, but we have been going through the book of Colossians as a chapel, and that's where our instruction has come. Certainly, the way I take a look at the teaching in chapter 3 here, you know, like, there are couplets. You know, like, we have sliced and diced the chapter in such a way where we had teaching about wives and husbands, children today, fathers will be tackled by Steve Weisbecker in the future. But the way I see it is it's always husbands and wives need to be taken together, the same message. Children and fathers or their parents in one session. you know, like bondservants and masters together. But that's not really where we're going today. But I will say this, it's very important for children to learn pretty quickly to obey parental authority. I made a comment to some of the young people that I was with yesterday that are sitting here in the front row, well, the second row from the front, I should say, and I reminded them that children's brains don't develop fully until they're in their young 20s. You know, like those that I was speaking to, they are not yet 20 years old. And there's also someone else sitting in the second row on this side of the auditorium, and then others that are scattered throughout. But children's brains really don't develop as quickly as their physical bodies, which is one reason why when you see a young person do something that is really off the wall, doing something that, you know, like you're flabbergasted by how could they do such and such a thing, and you ask them, why did you do that? And they say, I don't know. They don't. They really don't know. They just go with the flow. Certainly, if you ask my wife, she would also say my brain has not fully developed either, because she will ask me time after time for 49 years almost now of marriage, why did you do that? I say, I don't know. You know. But anyway, obedience is really the key, a very important key that children need to understand, and dare I even say, we all fall in that category of children. Certainly in the family of God, we are children of a heavenly Father, aren't we? And also, although many of the adults that are in this room, you know, you have your own responsibility. You have your own family that you are managing. You have your own children that are submitting themselves to you. We still may have parents that are still alive, and we are their children, and we honor them. We can go to other places in Scripture, and we also know that it will remind us to honor our mother and father. Exodus chapter 20, for instance, I think it's maybe verse 12, but it's number 5 of the Ten Commandments. Honor your mother and your father, that your days will be long upon the land that the Lord your God has given to you. We honor our parents. We love our parents. And as that song said, or as you're looking at Galatians verse 20 of chapter 3, children are to what? Obey their parents in everything, for this pleases God. The child who does not learn to obey his parents is not likely to grow up obeying any authority. You think about that. If you don't obey your parents, you're not likely to grow up obeying any authority. Warren Wiersbe says he will defy his teachers, the police, his employers, and anyone else who tries to exercise authority over him. The breakdown in authority in our society reflects the breakdown of authority in the home. Wiersbe would also say that, for the most part, children don't create problems. They actually reveal problems. That's what they do. They reveal problems. Parents who cannot discipline themselves cannot discipline their children. If a father and mother are not under authority themselves, they cannot exercise authority over others. I think that's a pretty important point. Think about that. It is only as parents submit to each other, husband and wife, submitting to one another, certainly in a spirit of love, it's teamwork, and to the Lord, that they can exercise properly balanced spiritual and physical authority over their children. Do you agree with that? You know, some are shaking their head, yes. So here is something else that I would like to read because I like the way this sounds in my study. The measure of a child's obedience, get this, everybody, in all things, and the motive is to please the Lord. It is possible to please the parents and not to please the Lord. If the parents are not yielded to the Lord, that reinforces an earlier statement that I made. The family that lives in an atmosphere of love and truth and reads the Word of God together and prays together will have an easier time discovering God's will and pleasing the Lord. So one question that does not need to be answered audibly by you, as parents with children, do you regularly read the Word of God together? Do you regularly pray together? Or do you find that there are other things that have become more important that squeeze out those times where you can be together and you can teach your children? Certainly we know that God has an enemy who is still active in this world. God's enemy is Satan, who wants to destroy your family. He wants to undo any faith that your son or your daughter or your grandchildren have. And the family is under attack, just like you are under attack. And so until the Lord calls us home or he comes back, we really are living in enemy territory. God wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy marriages. He wants to turn your hearts, the hearts of your children, away from God himself. And you don't have to look too far to really see the wreckage that he has created in the lives of young children. I will say this again, and there are others here who just really have done quite a wonderful work in children's ministries. I think of the years, the decades even, that the Larders have been involved in Child Evangelism Fellowship, and many of you. I can think back, and we can look back, and we can see how we have had people who have faithfully worked in Awana programs. We have Friday Night Friday Night Escape. We have those who pour out their hearts for a long time. Children's ministry at Mountaintop Youth Camp, you know, like Barry and Jack, you know, like, well, I know that nobody really wants personal recognition. You're doing this because you love the Lord and you love children. But children's ministries are important. But I will underscore this. The responsibility to teach your children to obey the Lord is not through the work of somebody else. It's not our Sunday school teachers who might meet with children for maybe 40 or 45 minutes of the week. It's not what's going on at Friday Night Escape. You know, like, parents have that responsibility to instruct and teach their children, their own children, the Word of God and how to obey the things that God wants your children to learn and to know. It's interesting that in the Book of Wisdom, the very first chapter, verse 8, we would read this. And if you're taking notes, you can jot this down later on. I'm going to look at a bunch of different verses. Actually, I gave a little topic. It's too long, but I'm going to read it anyway. Topic to this message, it was, teach your children the responsibility of parents to instruct and discipline their children for a favorable result according to the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's a long title. It wouldn't sell many books if it was a book, would it? Probably not. But in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, It simply says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." How does that fit with Colossians 3:20? Well, it's a very clear instruction in the first chapter of Proverbs, and it is very easy to understand. Parents, father and mother, are instructed to teach. That's what they are instructed to do. The son and daughter, implied, are to hear and do what? Obey. That's the idea of forsake not. They are to hear and they are to obey what is being taught. And certainly, since this is found in Proverbs, which is a wisdom book that God has given to us, the things that are to be taught and the things that are to obey are things that are going to give glory to the Lord Jesus. If you take a close reading of the book of Proverbs, and Proverbs are simply Proverbs, but we're going to have a little bit more understanding in a few moments, I hope, should the Lord lead us down that path. You know, like, the book of Proverbs will help a young person stay on the right path. There are divergent paths out there that they could follow. Some lead to destruction. Some lead to God and the right way to live. A very similar thought to what we have just heard in Proverbs chapter 1 is found in chapter 3 of Proverbs, the first two verses. And that would say, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you." You know, it is significant that by remembering the teaching and by obeying, which is the meaning of let your heart keep, there is the added bonus of peace. Don't you want to have peace in your family? Want to have peace in your family? Raise some obedient children who revere God's word and will not roll their eyes when mom or dad gives them godly instruction. Peace and long life. Those are two passages that encourage the young person to hear and to hear well. The responsibility of parents is to instruct and teach, while the responsibility of the children is always to heed and obey. It's that simple. In general, those who are subject to their parents live longer and better lives. It's interesting. William MacDonald, Bill MacDonald, former president of Emmaus Bible College, says this: "Those who kick up their heels against parental discipline," this is what he says, "invite illness, accidents, tragedies, and premature death." This verse thus corresponds to a verse that was quoted a moment or two ago, the fifth commandment in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, which promises long life to those who honor their parents. So how do you teach your children to obey? And just how do you teach them to be able to discern properly what is the will of God for them to do? I'm not talking about the will of God as far as what college to go to or what type of career that they should have, but what is the way you should live your life? You know, like Moses would say this in the Old Testament, and he would illustrate in this way the importance for instructing children are heard in these words. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you this day shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Loving the Lord God and knowing wants for you and for your children is so important. Another verse in that first chapter of Proverbs, it's actually verse 7, tells us that the beginning of wisdom is to have what? It's the fear of the Lord. Reverential awe and wonder, and knowing that there is a God who has a particular will and purpose for your life. And one thing we're reminded of is to obey your parents. And parents are to teach and instruct. I can remember when first year that Jan, our daughter Jan, was a student at Emmaus. It was Christmas time and her car was out in Dubuque, of all places. It's a long way, 1,000 miles from Charlotte. And so didn't want her to drive that car home by herself. So I flew out to just spend time with Jan. 1,000 miles, that's many hours, and we did it in one day. I think it took us about 16 hours. I burned a copy of a CD, Great Love Songs of the 1970s. Jan likes music, I like music, and we're weird together. So the purpose of this was I wanted her to discern the messages in secular music. So we put it into her CD player, we would listen to a song, we would stop it, and we would talk. Dad would say, "What's the message in that song?" Such as, "If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right." Well, it's obvious. Or how about another popular song from the 70s? "Me and Mrs. Brown, we have a thing going on. We both know that it's wrong, but our love's far too strong." You know, I mean, my goodness, just going through a song after song and saying, so you go to the store and you buy a CD like that. How does that fit or flesh with the Word of God? It's a way of trying to do some teaching without preaching or bashing someone on the head with the Word of God. But it's a good way to have conversations. It's really applying what Moses is saying in the book. That's the way that I would see it. And it is something that you can employ creative and good teaching styles and episodes that would fit today's culture and things that are important in the life of our young people. My goodness, we've all been there. You know, like, and we all struggle still with sin in our life. Our children and our young people need help. They need to be understood. But they also certainly need to learn to obey authority and come under the clear teaching and understanding of God's word in a loving way. In a loving way. Let's take a look at Proverbs 22, verse 6. Consider what it says. Where did the time go? So we may not cover everything today. Maybe there'll be a part two light message at another time. But take a look at Proverbs 22 through 6. And so I stay on track. I may decide that I do want to read things. You know, to help me, it's hard for me to keep an outline, believe me. I struggle with things like that. It's hard for me to be up here standing in front of you and not trying to make eye contact. Therefore, I thought that if I wrote something down, like I think Jack Funk does, or someone else that I really respect tremendously, maybe it'll help. But I find that with my head's down here, I can't see you, and it bothers me. But I'm going to read this section, and it may be a little bit long. It's my message that I wanted to give. So you're at verse 6 of Proverbs 22, which says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it." That's a proverb. It's a proverb. Okay, the idea seems clear enough. Parents are to train, which means to discipline them in a way by which they will gain understanding and know how to apply the lessons learned. In case you did not know, Holden, up here on the second row, is going to go to basic training on August 1st. So he is going to be trained to be in the National Guard. Trained. He doesn't even know what discipline is like yet. But he soon will find out what it means, you know, like when he goes through that time. So I'll tell you, to discipline really means to be trained. And by going through discipline, he is going to gain understanding. He's going to understand what his training is all about, so he will know how to apply the lessons that are being taught him. And that's what we do. We discipline. We discipline our children so that they, no matter what gets thrown at them, they will know how to think for themselves the godly thoughts that will help them, apply godly living to the horrible situations and circumstances in their culture. So this training that they will go under, Proverbs 22, verse 6, is something that becomes an automatic reflex or response for them when various situations and challenges arise. This is similar to the discipline training of an athlete or soldier who is well prepared to know what to do no matter what they come up against. I think I just said that. Even though we hear this proverb echoed in the Colossian and Ephesian passages, chapter 3, verse 20 of Colossians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 in Ephesians, we don't always see what we'd expect to find in the lives of others in the church today, do we? We know that there are situations where we would say, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he won't depart from that. We see people that have departed. And we wonder, what's happening? What's happening? Are parents not teaching? Have the family altars prevalent in many Christian homes in the past? Have they collapsed? Do parents read scripture to their children at the dinner table and have family prayer? When, where, and how are parents instructing their children? And I had said earlier, or has that responsibility been handed over to others? Because it's easier to put the blame on others when children don't obey. We think that that responsibility is to someone else. The passage I want to read that Dave Reed had, who is a former Bible theology professor at Emmaus Bible College, stated that Proverbs, get this so that you understand the meaning, Proverbs are general truths stated in general terms. A proverb is a general truth stated in general terms. A precept, on the other hand, is a truth that is stated in absolute terms. So to illustrate the difference between a proverb and a precept, he gave this example. Suppose we are making statements of truth about engineering students at a particular university. One statement might be, a student must take and pass calculus in order to graduate as an engineer. That statement of truth is in precept form. Got that? There are no exceptions. But suppose we said instead, students who do well in calculus make better engineers. That is also a statement of truth, but it is in proverb form. It is a general truth stated in general terms. But there are some exceptions. There may be a few engineering students or engineering graduates from that university who are very good engineers, but never did well in calculus. I know that wouldn't be me. And by the same token, there may be a few graduates who were A-plus students in calculus, but have not made very good engineers. These exceptions, however, do not make the statement false, because it is a general truth stated in general terms. Exceptions do not make a proverb false. Proverbs are proverbs. Proverbs are not precepts. They are general truths stated in general terms. And Proverbs 2:22, verse 6, is a proverb. The occasional case which proves to be an exception to the general truth does not make this proverb false. There is more that needs to be said, and I think that next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, going to an exercise of privilege, since I have been asked by Fred Kozin if I would take that 10 o'clock slot before he delivers a message via Zoom at 11. So I will complete this message at that time, if that's okay. Parents, what do you have to do? Teach your children. Teach them what? Teach them the Word of God. Children of all ages, what are you supposed to do? Obey your parents in everything. Why? God's Word says so, and it pleases Him. It pleases Him. Makes it easier on you. Give yourself some long life. You can live till next Sunday if you obey your parents this week, I'll tell you. And also, it always honors God. Honor your mother and your father, that your days will be long upon the land that the Lord your God has given to you. We thank you for the Word of God that we have been able to open, and thank you so much, Heavenly Father, that we know that your Word is true. We haven't even tackled yet the meaning of discipline and how what lies ahead. We pray that we would be prepared to listen to the discipline of children, how we ourselves are chastened by God when we are slow to apply the things you want us to learn. And give us understanding when we even consider that parents are not to spare the rod, and that they are to mete out discipline on children who are disobedient, so that they would comply with what they need to know to live godly lives. And so help us. Help us throughout this week to live lives that will honor the Lord Jesus. That's what we want to do. We want to do all things for the glory of the Lord. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.